So tonight, no stranger to many of our lives, for some of you, first time ever, this man has been a fixture in my family, in this church, and in my life personally for, I think, 25 years. I don't count because the time doesn't matter. Honored that over all these years, he's continued to walk with Jesus. He has had an amazing career. And he was the last governor of Jericho. The last one was Joshua, and then it was this guy before handing it over to the Palestinian rule. He is now a major in the Israeli Defense Force. He's an ambassador, unofficial ambassador, but really official. Ambassador of Jesus, Yeshua, to not only Israel, but to the world. His viewership, watching him grow all these years to what God has done in Amir Serfate's life and his reach has been amazing. He travels literally the globe a couple times a year. That's probably an understatement. I don't know anyone who has a schedule like this. He's in such tremendous demand, and for good reason. But tonight, a little bit of a different evening, because we're going to sit down and we're going to talk. But give an overwhelming, please, warm welcome to our dear friend, Amir Serfate.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're going to sit.
Yep.
Right. God bless you, Amir.
Thank you.
So, listen, without any further delay, Lord, we pray that you'd bless this time together for us. And, Lord, in this world of media as it is tonight, we know that there are those that are here. We don't know if anybody's even watching us right now, or that they're able, frankly. And yet to us, that cannot matter. The truth, Father, is this, that whatever we say tonight, whatever we express, whatever we quote from Scripture, may it be accurate. The whole spirit of these happening now is to bring us stability, to give us understanding, and that, Lord, we would revel in your word and not the words of man. And God, that we would be comforted, because Jesus, you made it very clear that your word concerning prophetic events and current events, your word is to bring us comfort. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we pray tonight that all of us, both here present and those that are afar viewing now, that the Bible would be our foundation, not our emotion and not what somebody said somewhere on some blog, but thy word alone. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you guys, we're going to dive into this. And we've got some topics that we're going to run through that we're going to look on the screens that are basically headlines ripped from the world around us. And we're going to get into that. So, Sean, if you would start queuing them up, we're gonna go on this. So, breaking report. This is out of January 6th. Obviously, the world has seen this. Former FBI agent on the ground at U.S. Capitol says at least one busload of Antifa thugs infiltrated Trump demonstration. And what's really unique about that day is that I happened to have been there earlier that morning at the State Department with Secretary Pompeo. I didn't know that you were going to be in D.C. that day. And
surprised you.
You did.
Yeah.
You absolutely did. And so, listen, I want you to share with the people what you were thinking and why you were even there.
Well, I really felt that the Lord wants me to go to D.C. I changed all my plans. I was supposed to be somewhere else. And the thing that I received from the Lord is that you're going to see history being made. So I thought, ooh, yeah, I'm going to go there. Vice President Pence is going to see me. Everything's going to be great. So I I'm landing in D.C. That's on the 5th. I go to the hotel. And then on the 6th in the morning, we went to the rally, to the big one in the Ellipse right opposite the White House. It was wonderful. About 500,000 people showed up.
Oh, yeah.
The most peaceful rally I've ever seen in my life. And every law enforcement person around was greeted by all of these people. And God bless you. Mm-hmm. The gospel was shared in every street corner there. Listen, I've seen... So I'm like, wow, that's going to be great. Now, of course, at some point around 10:30, it was too cold for an Israeli.
It was cold.
Listen, I don't know how you take it, but...
It had to be below 60.
Oh, yeah. So I made my way back to the hotel. I thought I'll watch the speech on the screen. And then, of course... I couldn't sleep, and then, of course, at 3:35 to 3:45 a.m. on the 7th, which means the night after this whole thing in Capitol Hill, that's when I saw history being made.
Yeah.
When I saw the voting there, and when I saw the prayer, I don't even know how they call it, prayer. It was a speech. It wasn't a prayer. But when I saw all of that, the first thing that came to my mind, and I know it sounds very radical right now, but I realized I just watched probably the end of the Republic of the United States of America. And I think I just saw the beginning of something else. I don't want to get into what I just want you to know that don't let anyone change the narrative and forget what this whole thing was all about to begin with, because they're going to shake you and they're going to make you doubt that your own beliefs were on solid ground. And you're going to start asking yourself, wait a minute, is that whole thing, was it really true? What, you know, I got it on Twitter yesterday, a text.
You're still on Twitter?
No, that's why I left. Yesterday I left 158,000 followers on Twitter. But listen, so I got there was a tweet that was aimed at me by a congressman. I don't know what he wants from me.
He congressman, thought you were a voter.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Now listen, look what he wrote. I believe there's a huge burden now on pastors and clergy who openly spread the conspiracies of a stolen election like Robert Jeffress, Behold Israel, and Franklin Graham. I don't know why the Israeli, have to be in that list. I don't have a clue. Now, if he didn't make his homework finding out that I'm an Israeli, I don't trust him about the election. Think about it. But watch this. And then he said, among many others, to admit their mistakes and lead their flocks out of darkness to truth. So that Israeli did not stay silent. I wrote that was my last tweet before I left Twitter. Literally, 2 minutes later, I was up, and it was there. There's no burden here. I haven't changed my mind, and close to 80 million Americans haven't either. And then I said, by censoring us, you only make us even more convinced of your shenanigans.
No, I'm honestly trying to control myself from laughing regarding what I'm about to say. Because of the militant, blatant bias, I'm at a loss for words of what Twitter and the social media world is doing, that this is fantastic. I don't know if you've seen the news, but there's an upcoming election in Uganda. And the nation of Uganda has banned Twitter. Oh, that's so funny.
And Twitter is angry.
Twitter posted a rebuttal. We believe in free speech. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. So But the thing is this, I mean, look, oh, thank God we can laugh about this stuff. We're Christians and our politics is in heaven, Monday and Tuesday, it was just a mind blower for me personally, because if I were to try to tell you the media interviews, I would come up short. But calling and asking, we want an interview. Listen, I'll cut to the chase. But this is what Time Magazine, Newsweek, Breitbart, New York Times, Washington Post, Orange County Register. I'm losing. It doesn't matter. This is the question they asked. It's like they got together and they said, we've got to ask Christians this question. And you need to remember this, all of you. They asked, what are you, the evangelical community, what are you going to do now without Trump? And I said, has the interview started? Is this it? Have we started? For real? Yes, yes. What are you guys going to do? So what do you mean we're going to do? Well, what are you going to do now? Well, we're going to do what we've done for 2,000 years. Nothing changes. And before you could ask another question, I said, I want to remind you that we're used to this stuff. We endured Nero, Diocletian. We endured the Roman Empire. We've been around for 2,000 years, and we're going to be around forever. Our existence, our hope and our faith, and I've used the line that I've used for a long time that people expect me to use it outside of the church, and I told the guy, I said, listen, if you've not heard, the Messiah is not arriving on Air Force One. And that's always been true. So the whole point was, why would the evangelical community vote for Donald Trump in record numbers in this last election? And I said, it's not that it's Donald Trump. It could have been a Democrat if he had the same policies. It was pro-life. It was pro-Israel. It was pro-religious freedom. And that's the truth. If any politicians out there that might be watching, Adam Krusheim, what's your name? Adam, if you want the evangelical vote next time around, listen, you've got to be pro-religious freedom, pro-life, right? You've got to be pro-Israel.
And pro-facts.
Pro-facts would help. That's the issue. And all the media said the exact same thing. They were wrong. And I told them, you guys don't get it. If you don't get it, you're asking the wrong questions. You think that our faith has been rattled by a political outcome. And if that were the case, we would have perished 2,000 years ago. You guys need to remember that. Okay? Very, very important. So next thing. Yeah, look, we saw this. D.C. mayor told federal law enforcement to stand down day before violent U.S. Capitol riots. That's a fact. That happened. She not only did that, but when she found out how many people were showing up to the rally, she had porta potties that were provided by the host of the event. She had outdoor, they're called porta potties, aren't they? She had many of them removed.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I left early.
That's one of the reasons why I stood 2 hours and 10 minutes in line.
Yes.
You had to stand in line to go to the bathroom before you even had to go to the bathroom. Wow. Because of her. We don't appreciate that. But anyway, why would she do that? Why would she do that? Every one of the interviewers thought that the Capitol was invaded by a bunch of Trump supporters. And yet, the ID, positive ID, by the way, so there's been arrests, by the way, positive ID of, for example, the man sitting in the speaker's chair holding his fist up. How many Trump supporters go like this? And that guy, lo and behold, he facial ID, positive recognition as an Antifa support, as an Antifa agent or Antifa.
But you know, a lot of people don't know that the timeline of everything, they don't look at it. But when Trump was not even done speaking, they were already in on Capitol
Hill
trying
that?
To. You understand? That doesn't make sense. By the way, it takes about almost 30 to 40 minutes to walk from the ellipse to Capitol. So nothing there makes sense. But hey, why confusing them with facts?
I'm curious, though. How many of you have seen this, everybody? I've been to the Capitol. I've been in that building many times. And I have even had the honor of opening Congress in prayer. Let me tell you something. I could have never found that lofty chamber, that wonderful place. If you've been there, you need a docet. They walk you through and you're guarded. You cannot, there's no sign that says chamber this way or turn. None of that stuff. You have, it's an old building and it's like walking through a maze and you'll never find it. How did people find it in 90 seconds from the entry point in when you, I hope you've seen the videos. Where there are what looks like police officers literally standing inside the building going like this and pointing. Did you see it? Unbelievable. So I don't know. Listen, there may have been some zealots that got in there. But I can tell you that there was a militant presence there. It was photographed. It was witnessed. But that doesn't fit the narrative, nor does it fit apparently a possible plan. Seems to me things were sure smooth in operating, that rally was going to be derailed in some way, shape, or form. But by the way, just so you guys know, text your questions to that number, and we'll get to them tonight, we hope. So next one. No more news. Yeah, we'll go fast through these. Trump's email's been suspended. So...
Well,
so the people that are taking over your country, they want to heal. They want us to come together. This is how they're going to do it. Come together by removing you. Next slide. ABC News executive calls for cleansing the Trump movement from America. By the way, it just so happens I happen to be the one that's to be cleansed. Myself and others, Charlie Kirk, Sebastian Gorka, we are to be removed from America. So, cleansing, silenced, shut up. Listen, that's the deal.
See, they missed the point. There's 80 million of us. They don't understand that.
Yeah, but so what? So what, there's 80 million? Here's the thing. Church, listen, we live in a time, let's be honest, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I want you to read your Bibles. Your sins were forgiven at the cross.
Amen.
Jesus died for your sins personally. You understand that?
Yes.
Jesus did not die for the sins of nations.
Right.
He died for you.
Amen.
That's why every nation... Look at the history of Israel. Did they go through peril when they disobeyed God?
Yes.
Yes. And every nation that disobeys God is judged by God.
Yes.
Okay? Listen. Just because God may be bringing judgment upon our nation, which he has to, by the way. He said he would, he has to. He judges the nations for their evil. That doesn't mean that God has given up on him saving you. This is, listen, we're entering into a time of what may possibly be national judgment. Will it be hard for you? Yes. Will it be violence if they have their way? Yes. That doesn't mean God has forsaken us. Do you understand that? Please, you need to know that. Oh, wait a minute. I thought the rapture was going to happen first. Why did you ever think that? The rapture could happen now. It could have happened yesterday. But nowhere does God say to America, you'll be raptured and safe from any crazy people. Why would we escape that which every nation on earth has had to suffer through and many are suffering through it now? Do you understand?
Yeah.
You're not applauding that right now because that's a shocker. But it is a fact. Listen, there were wonderful Christian believers in Germany. There were wonderful Christian believers in England in World War II. There are wonderful Christian believers right now suffering under the regime of the CCP in China. God loves them. They're his kids. National judgments are different. You will never see judgment Jesus was judged for you at the cross. You need to remember that. Don't think for a moment. It would be naive, silly, and not biblical to think that America is somehow exempt from God saying Ichabod. You know what Ichabod means?
Yes.
The glory has departed.
Yes.
It may have departed.
Mm-hmm. I think that Jesus never promised that the end will be great. In fact, all that he said about the very end times was pretty scary in a sense, if you think about it. And even when he described a lot of things that are going to happen all around the world, he said, this is just the beginning. And the point is that when we want to look into Bible prophecy, for example, and we want to look straight to what is written, the text that is written, you can't find America in Bible prophecy prosperous at the very end. You can't find, Iran gone. You know, they said that if Trump would have stayed 4 more years, Iran would have been collapsed with all the sanctions that they had there. And now they're the happiest in the world right now. They just parade. They're so happy. In fact, you're going to hear about it in a few minutes. They are right now flexing their muscles like never before. That's why last night we had to send a few F-16s and F-35s to take care of business.
But let's talk about why. Christian, listen, Bible prophecy, why is this even a topic? Watch this. Iran, you know in your Bible, Iran is Persia in your Bible. And how many times have we gotten together on Happening Now evenings and talked about we're closer to... With America rapidly declining, it bolsters Persia's dominance for the region. Do you know biblically that has to happen?
It has to.
I don't know if you all know that. You need to know that. According to the book of Ezekiel, Persia will feel so emboldened that they are going to attack Israel, it says. Now, God is going to intervene and deal with them, and you may watch it on the news. God will intervene.
Yeah.
But Persia, it says Persia, Iran, will go against Israel. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 38, the nations of the world will say, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, the United States would never allow Israel to be invaded by anybody. Do you see?
But probably you will ask, so wait a minute, if everything fits so perfectly to Bible prophecy, why did you support Trump if Biden's America fits Bible prophecy? That's where you're wrong. You see, we must always vote for the right thing.
Righteousness.
Righteousness, pro-life. You don't vote pro death just so we can haste Bible prophecy. You know, you don't take somebody from his basement and sending him to the White House just so Bible prophecy is going to... No. You vote... Listen.
You do the right thing.
You vote for pro-life, pro-family, pro-freedom, pro-Christianity, pro-Israel. But God has the last word. Now, just as Joseph had those seven good years... And then came the seven very lean years. And it was the same God that was still on the throne. And by the way, throughout the seven bad years, he actually finally met with his family and his father. And think about it. Throughout these...
That's so good.
Lean and bad years, we are going to meet... our
wouldn't that be awesome?
Messiah. See, look, right now the Bible is telling us that we have the restrainer in us, okay?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the restrainer. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As long as we are here, we're somehow, that Holy Spirit is holding the world like that from really falling apart. Think about it. The minute the world will choose, we go that way, we go that way. Do you understand? We are not going that way. We go up. That's why the Bible says that the restrainer will do so until he will be taken out of the way. And that's the Bible says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So the minute we're up and the world is going down, guess who shows up and lead the march for the rest of the world?
Amir's referencing 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2 on
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And so very, very important. Look, number one, you actually know a little bit of what God is, I think, wanting to do. Look at 2020. You say, oh, do I have to? but listen, look at your spiritual development in 2020. Look at how you've gotten closer to Jesus. You've gotten certainly more serious about God, haven't you? And you've been more prone now to be outspoken about the Lord. And there's a lot of people in your life that are concerned, and you have the answer. And things have become simple, streamlined. Maybe homes have been lost, or savings have been lost, or businesses have been lost. And that's terrible. But to God, that's nothing compared to the spiritual development that has happened in your life. And you say, oh man, I don't know, that's costly. But Paul the Apostle lost everything physical to gain the knowledge of Christ. It's the value of our currency regarding who we are now today in Christ Jesus as a believer. It's not the dollar. It's not gold. It's not the shekel. It's not anything else. It is the currency of our faith. You're stronger now. Did it hurt to get to this point? Yes. But things that are painful to get, strongly defended because they're valuable to you. Anything given easily is not that big of a deal. You have grown tremendous this last year in Christ. And the year that's now, ours here, is for us to grow. Because it is our faith that's to be tested as fire and come out as shining pure gold. Yeah. That's what God's concerned about in your life. That's the value and currency of heaven. We need to remember that. Very, very important.
And more than ever before in your entire life, the hour of trial that is going to come upon the world to test the earth dwellers is around the corner. Mm-hmm. You need to understand something. Yeah. We've been talking and teaching about what is about to come for the longest time. We haven't, by the way, gone to any other direction. We've been teaching the same thing. 25 at least. I don't know about 25 years. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. We've never lived throughout the days. We've never lived. Even during the time of President Obama, it was still, to me, I was banking on the moral compass of America to turn things around. What I woke up on January 7th in the morning too, is that compass that I knew then that is will eventually lead this nation to the right thing, at least in the near future, has been robbed, has been taken and shattered to pieces. And how do you know? Because the Constitution was trampled on. It was laughed at. It was ridiculed. Mm-hmm. And by the way, make no mistake, if everything that happened on November 3rd and on January 4th, was it in Georgia?
6th.
In Georgia. 4th or 5th? 5th, was it? Because the 5th was the same thing. Exactly same thing. If you watch TV, same exact thing. But if that can happen and no one can say a word about it, it'll happen again and again and again. And that's it. And so people call some of those Republicans that are turning against Trump rhinos. Let me tell you something. The rhinos are the righteous ones because, as far as I'm concerned, 97% of the Republican Party is now in trouble.
I think they misunderstood.
Rhino is Republican in name only. Okay? That's what it stands for. So they think that, okay, most of the Republicans are great. There's one or two or three that like the, you know, the governor of Georgia and all of his gang that are rhinos. But honestly, after watching the Senate and the House during, the January 6th thing, I think the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, are the four or five or six that came to defend Trump. My point is,
I'll
to
translate.
Say that you're a Republican right now is not...
So I'll translate what he's
translated to Yiddish.
The Gentile will
come to save the Jew.
Pay retail. The Gentile will pay retail. The definition of Republican these days is something completely different. That the one who's really acting as they ought to defend the Constitution, when he says Republican in name only, the rhino, the true definition of Republican is only being practiced by a few people right now. That's what you're trying to say.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, Josh Hawley, just a couple.
Seven, eight.
Just a couple. And it's, you got to watch out. So,
thank you.
Listen to this. Proverbs 22:28 says, "Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set." Our fathers were our founding fathers. And all the Democrats and a lot of Republicans moved the ancient landmark. And you have no Constitution tonight operational. You only have it in the museum. Yeah.
But right more now. Than ever before, we now understand what it means to not be of this world.
Yes.
And more than ever before, we now understand what it means to be a citizen of the heavens.
Yes.
Okay? We don't belong to this place anymore. Honestly, think about it. Everything that is going to happen, first of all, they tell you to your face, we need to cleanse this world from people like you.
Well, amen.
Exactly. Amen. By the way, you can tell them, don't invest too much money in it. He's going to do it for free. You know, but my point is that it's a word of encouragement that I'm trying to convey here. You will feel alienated more and more and more and more by even your closest friends.
Jesus said so.
But I want to tell you something. This is when your Christianity is going to come into effect in a greater way. Greater way.
And your family. Look around you. This is your family. I was just talking to somebody, I think last night. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But she was making a comment about family. And I said, wait a minute. Remember this. The old saying goes, blood is thicker than water. But as believers, spirit's thicker than blood. Our family in Christ, this is our family. We are knit together by the Spirit. And the world doesn't understand.
They'll never understand.
The world cannot understand. We shouldn't be upset at them for that. They don't understand this. They don't understand that even if they issued an edict where we couldn't meet in this building, we're not this building. You can't meet in the building. Okay.
We'll meet outside.
Fine. We'll meet outside. You can't meet over here. Well, then we'll meet at the hilltop. Well, you can't meet there. We'll just keep meeting. This is what the church is. They don't understand. It's a living, breathing entity that was born out of heaven on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. That's who you are. And it's just exciting because the more that we eat the Word of God together, right, the more that we become of the same body. Amen. And that's never going to stop. And
we have to be very careful. Because deception,
apostasy,
and apostasy is now creeping into the church like never before.
Be strong.
Be strong and always, always be in the Word. Because look, their videos make sense because it's a nice video. But the minute you're going to open your Bible and compare what has been said to what the Lord said in His Word, you'll find out that they cut corners here and there, and they made things fit into their narrative. So now you're totally confused. Now, that's the point You need to stick to the Word of God. Now, the attack comes from the outside, which we can take it because we understand. But I am more concerned about the attack that is coming from the inside.
Oh,
and
yes.
If there is one thing, look, don't listen to anyone but the Word of God. And if a preacher comes and teaches you the Word, then you test it.
Amen.
You go and test it, because I'm telling you, this is the biggest problem right now.
That's
that
right.
I'm watching. And, you know, it is part of the end time. The Bible, I mean, Paul warned Timothy, said, in the very end, people will depart from faith and will start going to those, all of those doctrines of demons and stuff like that. But even in 2 Thessalonians, we know that there has to be an apostasy. And make no mistake, apostasy is apostasy.
People,
it's not anything else.
The Bible's consistent. In the last days, people will depart from the faith.
Yes.
Just don't let it be you. And the temptation comes this way. And I mean it. It's this subtle. You know what? It's been a rough week. I'm not going to go to church this week. I understand that. And going to church doesn't save you. But what happens is, it's like a muscle. Where you find out, this is what happened to a lot of people during COVID. They found out, Christians found out, that they have a lot more time on the weekend if they don't go to church. Because my church was closed. You know, we'd get up in the morning, we got dressed, we would drive there. But then that's sometimes a hassle. Then we'd go home, and usually we'd go to lunch somewhere. And then we get home till 2. Wow, since COVID, we haven't been going to church. I just realized how we've got so much more time. I've heard this. And 2 weeks of that, a month, 3 months of that, they're not coming back. That's how the enemy works. Ever so subtle. Ever so easy. We need to remember what Paul said. He says, I discipline my body into subjection. To Christ. He buffet. The word is buffet. He buffets himself. See, he doesn't go around punching himself. It means that he takes his bodily appetites and desires and he gets them under control. If you lose that muscle, right? What's the word people call like a second nature or automatic response? If you lose that, you could easily drift. You can easily drift away. It's very, very dangerous. We have to
Super
be careful
dangerous.
Of that. I don't know. Keep going. Next slide. What do you want? Oh, you want to talk? You know what? We can keep going. That's just that. Well, yes. We already know that. China. That's a bummer. That is coming.
Yeah.
That is coming.
Kamala Harris. Are they going to do something good? I mean, I only see bad things.
That's good to them. You do understand, right? Listen, with Kamala Harris's buyback program, it's not really a buyback program, but you will be giving up your personal firearms to the federal government. And then guess what will happen? There'll be no more violent crime anymore.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? That's what they said.
You go to the state of New York, they'll tell you. It
give
works.
Up your gun. Gun free
Chicago.
Zone.
Chicago works.
Gun free zone. Chicago. The only way that. Listen, seriously, you don't go to Chicago. When the sun goes down, you go to your hotel and you stay there. In fact, if people were killed in Israel as often as people are killed in Chicago on one weekend, I wouldn't take you guys to Israel. You hear the news, when one Israeli gets shot, it makes international news.
Right.
Nobody covers the fact that there are 10, 20, 30 people killed on a Chicago weekend.
Right.
And you want to know another gun-free zone? You do remember, gun-free zones mean all the good people do not have guns.
Right. Yes.
Bad people do not obey laws. Washington, D.C. is one of the highest cities of murder in America. Why? It's a gun-free zone. All the bad guys go there because people are sitting ducks. It's crazy. You say, yeah, and I was interviewed this week about Second Amendment. So I listen, you take away all the guns in the world. People start using knives. Look in China. People kill each other with knives. They don't have guns. And remember, Cain killed Abel. He didn't have a gun. He used a rock. I assume he used a rock. Right? Next thing. The nations are pushing back against these.
Because they know it's going to come back and bite them.
Lord, we pray right now for these four men who are so lost and they don't know you. They don't. They probably think because they're all multiple billionaires. I'm sure they think that they're okay. And we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, somewhere in the world, these four men are somewhere. And we ask you, Lord, right now that you'd speak to them. Show them your glory. If you showed them your glory, they would know they have none. And that they would cry out to Jesus for salvation. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And may their stocks continue to plunge. That's a way.
Next slide.
All right.
Then. Yeah, there's... this is ongoing. This is and more of you who are in law enforcement, if not already. You who are in law enforcement, if you have not already been notified by your agencies or by your departments that there's tactical alert possibilities coming to your departments, that's no secret. We have a lot. This is a law enforcement church. Many, many law enforcement agencies here. We need to really pray for our first responders. We need to support them. This is not a time for us, the citizenry, to waver on our support to them. Mm-hmm. And we really need to make sure that as a community, when you see a police officer getting gas in their patrol or whatever they're at, you need to carefully walk up to them. And I make it a point, it depends, because I'm a guy and they don't know. I walk up like this and I say, hey, you know what? I want you to know. I absolutely support you. We pray for, I say we, then I leave that open door to the we. We pray for you and do not listen to CNN. That's what I say. And every time they say, thank you, and I don't. That's what they say. Thank you, and I don't. Mm. We need them. Do you realize that without your police officers in your town, there's no barrier between the bad guy and your bedroom?
Mm. Okay. You know, I travel around the world, and I hate to be brainwashed. I hate to be brainwashed, period. But when you wait at the airport, guess what you're watching all the time?
Not anymore.
That's what I'm about to say. My point is, CNN airport is over. That's it.
Wait a minute. Do you know why it's over? They can't afford it. Wait. CNN may be going up for sale. Wait. We should buy it.
Christian News Network. I would change the logo instantly. I can't even look at it.
Next headline.
Amazon Parler from its web host.
Wow. Amazon to remove Parler from its web hosting service. No, come on, boycott. You'll never boycott Amazon. I came home tonight. Amazon was waiting for me there to greet me. We can't live without Amazon. You'll never stop Amazon. Come on.
Try.
You don't even remember living without Amazon. Let's be honest. Come on.
You need deliverance. I mean... All right. That's not a...
Can you imagine? Let's pretend for a second how true what I just said is. That if Amazon were to say, you have to accept our mark to continue buying from us on your right hand or on your forehead.
They won't serve it to you unless you have it.
Think about it. But... And that's just Amazon. Could you imagine? There's going to be a day coming in Revelation 13 when the Antichrist comes on the scene.
And it's not when we're here.
And you're not going to be here. But imagine, the young generation today, they can't, look at all the technologies they could never live without. Imagine if someone came along and said, if you don't, listen, here's who we are, here's what I am, and you need to pledge allegiance to me, and I'll make sure all of your packages are delivered on time at your door. I will make sure you're fed, and I will make sure that no harm befalls you.
Yeah.
Just bow down and worship me by accepting my number.
Yeah.
People will get in line.
Yeah.
To take the number. And those are called the ones in the Bible that are deceived by the devil, deceived by the Antichrist. And there's another group that's not deceived by the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. And those are the tribulation saints.
Yes.
And that's very encouraging. Listen, those people in that day, there'll be those who will bow to the lordship of the Antichrist, and there will be those who will bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And those who bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they will be beheaded. The Bible says, Revelation 13, that those in that day who do not receive the mark of the beast will be beheaded. It doesn't say that they're going to be crushed or run over. It says beheaded. You're going to see,
and these
not
are the,
you, yeah. you're not going to see, but you're going to... you need to be aware of that. Yeah. It's easier now, maybe, I guess.
Oh, maybe, much easier.
Maybe it's easier now to live for Jesus. Maybe.
Hello.
Sometimes I wonder because, you know, honestly, I'm not being rude. If I accepted Christ in 1977 and somebody said, you're a Christian? Yep, just became one last week. You know what? I'm going to kill you for being a Christian. Boom. You know, it happens in the world. I think that would have been easier than living these 40 plus years as a Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? For you, by, and thank God it's His grace, but by you living faithful for Jesus until the end, for decades and a lifetime, you know how much grace it takes? Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me. Yet God will sustain you.
And because you stayed faithful, you have a promise. And the promise is in Revelation 3, because you are faithful, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. In other words, because you've lived your life as Christians, you've got a promise that he's not going to let you go through the hour of trial, but he will keep you from the hour of trial that is about to come upon the dwellers of the earth. We're not earth dwellers. You need to understand, we will be in heaven. We're being taken, and the people that are on earth will have a trial. That is a horrible trial because they cannot buy or they cannot sell. They cannot do anything without that mark. And if you decide to follow Jesus, then you'll probably live in a cave somewhere or under the ground somewhere because you won't be able to show your face. They'll know immediately there's nothing on your forehead and there's nothing on your right hand. You understand that?
Yes.
So that promise is so amazing. And because of this promise, we can comfort one another with these words. You know, how can I come to someone who says, we are going to go through the tribulation, we're going to be beheaded, comfort one another with these words. You know, it doesn't work like that, okay? We have wonderful promise to be taken
in fact
out of, not through.
In fact, I want to stress, why? How can we be like this? Some of you may be thinking, what's wrong with those people? Don't they realize there's... Listen, Let me apologize for all of us right now, sort of, kind of. I'm being a little bit sarcastic in a loving way. For you, and we know the feeling. We know. We look around. We love this country. We're completely engaged in the freedom and the liberty of this country. And it's as though that it's burning down around us. And don't you guys care? Oh, we care. There's an overwhelming sense, though, I know for both of us, that we have fought the good fight. And we're fighting it. We're going to keep fighting it. Here's the thing. When you do all that you can or to the best of your ability, and you leave it in the hands of the Lord, you don't need to fret. Do we want things to get better? Yes. By the way, we've read the Bible. They will get better. We don't define it. God does. Okay? Heaven is our home. This isn't. But remember this, we can be so confident tonight and so at peace because everything that God has said in his word, he's done. And what has not yet been done, he will do. He's never failed. You can't find one prophecy in the Bible where God didn't come through for you on it or God didn't answer that fulfilled prophecy. He's done it. That gives us confidence. And so when we talk about what we do talk about, everything that we say tonight, I hope you understand, is pregnant with hope.
Yes.
Because, well, this and Google and Parler and the world and Iran. Listen, the Bible speaks. In fact, we are confident because listen, the Bible speaks. The book of Daniel chapter 12. Did you know that Daniel 12 talks about knowledge increasing in the last days? At such fast speeds? The Bible says that. Young people, listen. The Bible says that.
The question, what are they doing with that knowledge? Okay, and look, we are witnessing the smarter they get, the more stupid they are. Because they cannot see the things that we see. Look, they cannot see the things that we see. It's right in front of them, and they cannot see it because they're so blind. And who blinded them? Who blinded them?
The God of this world.
Exactly. The prince of this world blinded them from seeing things that we can see. So because they are so blinded, they really think that we need Donald Trump to get saved. That's how they think. So the reporter asks you, what are you going to do now when he's not in the White House? That's the way they think.
That's how they think.
They truly believe that we're done right now. And if we're not done, they'll help whatever they can to get us.
Let's do this. Let's tie two things together that came up tonight. What you just said in the word apostasy. Check this out. One of the reporters said, so you're not rattled by this? I said, look, I voted a certain way. I voted pro-life. I wish it would have gone better. I leave it in the hands of God. But aren't you, but what about the prophecies?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
The prophecies. This is amazing. This is the New York Times telling me. But what about the prophecies?
The New York Times is very prophetic. He's interested in prophecies.
And I said, I'm not, and listen, this is the joy of being social media ignorant. I love it. You know why? The guy goes, aren't you reading about all these prophets that have said that Trump's going to have a second term and it's going to go this way and if this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And I said, no, I've not read them. I don't know what you're talking about. So he's telling me. And I said, no, the prophets are the prophets in the Bible. I don't know any other prophets. And I know what my Bible teaches. How many people have said this, this, this? Hanging on to what a man has said. I'm not saying God cannot speak through people. But whatever God speaks through people, it's going to agree with this. Amen. Not contradict this. And so, there are people rattled because so-and-so, a prophet, said thus and so. If it doesn't happen, what's that going to do to you?
You see how the world is viewing these prophets? Look, they're fools and you're being fooled. And then what are you going to do? And it's like, they're not prophets. The prophets are here.
Yeah.
And honestly, it still doesn't change the fact that I wanted Donald Trump to win because I didn't vote. Well, I didn't vote anyway.
Why didn't you?
I don't even know why I care about it so much.
How come you didn't vote 10 times?
I know. My point is,
You only voted once?
Yeah. Anyway, I would vote mail-in ballot. Never mind. But... But I do want you to understand, you shouldn't doubt your position. Why? Because if they are going to reinstate baby killing, that means that you should have voted for baby killing? No!
Well,
if they're going to reinstate anti-Israel policy, that means you need to turn now against it? No, of course not. You always, the Bible says that we need to be zealous for good works. That's what the Bible says in Titus.
That's right.
So zealous for good works, that means in that case, voting for the righteous things. Not the righteous man, but the righteous platform. And don't let anyone tell you that you've made a mistake. But you know, the Lord is in control.
No, you're doing great. You're really doing great.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Who are the people saying, you made a huge mistake. Look how horrible. You were silly. You made a big mistake. You should apologize for the way you voted. Who's saying that? You know who's saying that? The people who 100% disagree with your view.
Exactly.
They disagree with the God that you worship. But you see, they won. And so now they feel that they can say, you need to say you're sorry for voting the way. In fact, we are going to post your business on a website and make sure nobody does business with you. Did you see the mayor of New York has announced that Trump businesses have got to get out? No renewing of business license for Trump organizations in New York. Did you see it? New York City. Shut down the hotels, move your offices, you're gone. You got to go. Is de Blasio going to succeed? I don't know. But who does this? Isn't it amazing that those guys weren't around at the founding of our nation? Nobody would have gotten off the ground. Think about it. You've got to love humanity enough to allow people who completely disagree with you to have value in your opinion. People who disagree with me have value. NPR, that's another one this week. Monday, NPR. I told the reporter, I said, I have respect enough for the Constitution, though I've never met you, ma'am. I would go to war and die for the First Amendment so you can have the opportunity to print your material that I so disagree with,
I
don't buy your material, but when I later on when I reviewed it in my mind, it dawned on me, NPR, you and I pay taxes to support NPR. I do pay for it, but here's my point: I don't believe stuff on that show. I know what they're about. Here's the thing: I would die for their freedom, for the First Amendment. That's called being an American. The other team won't do that. They'll die to shut you up, but they will not die to give you freedom. That's amazing. Let's take questions.
Yeah.
Want to do that? Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
You don't sound okay. Listen, I'm so tired of this one. It's so stupid. It doesn't even deserve a moment, but we'll give it a half. How legit is the impeachment? Insanity, illegitimate, and it's not going to work. It's totally symbolic. Honestly, to be honest with you, Nancy, this is all for Nancy. Everybody in the Democrat Party, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go to jail for what I'm about to say. You do not know how powerful she is. You don't have a clue. She governs over her minions because you people, listen, this is a fact. People who are elected, even into her party, who do not agree with her, quickly wind up agreeing with her. Because she has a network of people who study your life and find out about your inner workings. And she gets her Democrat partners to do exactly what she wants because she knows exactly who they are. If she doesn't know, she'll find out. This whole thing today was done because she made it happen. She has that kind of power. Everybody in D.C. knows it. You never cross her, you'll pay a price. How do you think she's still in power? It's remarkable. Remarkable. The impeachment is a symbolic act to try to just crush Trump's legacy on the way out. Are there any credible news sources that you can recommend? The Blaze. Sign up for The Blaze. Subscribe now. The Blaze.
Newsmax.
Newsmax. Pray for them. Newsmax is number one targeted for attacks. Newsmax, by the way, is number one on the charts. Newsmax. Best. Fantastic. Remarkable. Here's the deal. Get Newsmax, by the way. You got to get it. If your provider doesn't have it, dump them. Get somebody who carries Newsmax. Get their app for your phone. That's what I do. I watch it all the time on the app. But Newsmax is being attacked by the other team right now. I say the other team. I'm not a Republican, a Democrat. I'm a monarchist. I thought I should divulge that. I personally, my political affiliation is a monarchist. I believe in a monarchy. You say, well, I thought we left England for that.
King Jesus.
It's true. But I agree with John Hancock and John Adams. We have no king but Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm a monarchist. Having said that, you need to pray for them and support Newsmax because their commercial, their supporters on commercial. Sponsors are being attacked.
I know the Hebrew word for that.
Told to leave. But so what's some the Daily Wire, OAN,
Epoch Times. Yeah. All right.
It's getting slim. Next one. Is there an update on the warships surrounding Israel? Which ones?
Which ones? Because my daughter is in the Navy, and I would know.
Was that question, is that the right question, or were you questioning, I guess they can't. No, I don't even know who I'm talking to. There's no way.
Look,
U.S. has been called back into the region.
In the Mediterranean, you've got Russian boats, you've got European, you've got, you've got the Turkish boats.
Iranian
you've
got, submarines.
Well, Iranian submarine is like a little piece of, should see, I have a picture of it. But what I want to know is that Israel has never been stronger. Never been stronger. Never, ever been stronger. But they just, by the way, reinstated our credit rate A+. You know, in an area of the world that they're all collapsing all around us, to be A+, it's a very, very good thing. But this is exactly how Israel should be at the eve of Ezekiel 38. Strong, prosperous, and safe. And that's what we are now. And it is going to come. Look, Ezekiel is going to come, whether you want it or not. And I'm saying that about my own country. Iran is now flexing its muscles. Everyone who wanted Trump to lose are now, they're parading everywhere, all around the world. And they actually, Iran set an ultimatum for America. By the 21st of January, you better come back to the Iran deal, or else you'll hear from us. And listen, that's how it's going to be from now on. And make no mistake, from what we hear, America will be back in the Iran deal.
Listen,
and they want $7 billion compensation for the for what they lost during Trump's era.
Iran is, they're not threatening to sue us, but exactly what Amir just said. Can you believe these guys? We've already given them, how much cash did Barack Obama give them?
$1.something billion. Yeah. They want it cash, by the way. They want it in bags, unmarked.
How much?
Want $7 billion.
Iran wants $7 billion tonight because they believe that they should get some sort of restitution for the trauma that Trump has caused Iran.
Yes, they're traumatized.
They're asking. What planet are we on?
And by the way, you'll never get back to the Iran deal unless you pay them. Make no mistake, they'll get it. And you're probably going to promise, not you, I mean, you know, I'm talking about...
Right, them.
Yeah. But your new administration is going to want it so badly that at some point, some shape, they will give it to them, but they will not let you know. By the way, Obama never told the people that he's paying them $1 point something billion.
In fact,
what did he say?
In fact, the cash billion, almost $2 billion, or maybe more, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it was a $10. What he did was absolutely something that was to lock him up instantly. You cannot spend taxpayer money without the proper legal governmental entities knowing about it. And he did it. That tells you tons about who or what that person is. It only benefited him at your expense. And he did it in secret. And he used the U.S. military to be his postal service. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely treasonous.
Boxes of cash. Unbelievable. And that's how Iran funds terror. By the way, the Iranians just admitted that they smuggled to Gaza boxes of U.S. dollars to buy whatever they need to buy. Terrorism, by the way, in the name of the war on terror, they will eliminate cash completely. You understand? But listen, it's being done. It's right there. It's before our very eyes. Iran, by the way, secret report of the International Atomic Energy Agency it's a secret report that Iran breached the agreement. In fact, Iran has all the things it needs for a military nuclear program right now. Right. In other words, all that they said that we needed just for civilian purposes, for energy, it was just baloney. They are already now ready to make that move for the military thing. Something that we already exposed when we got to Tehran and we took all their nuclear archive from that warehouse. We showed the world that even before that agreement was signed, they were on the path for the bomb. Because they said to the world, we never wanted a bomb. All we want is nuclear energy. And then we brought all those, you know, folders. Everything was there, and they didn't know what to say. But apparently, they are going back there right now. Mm-hmm. And so, in the name of, we need to stop them, the new administration is going to run back to this one.
Let's just do this quick. Do you think President Trump is going to install martial law? No. Or give the office over to Biden? Trump's going to do what's best for the Constitution up to the last moment, and he will use every bit of legal options that's available to him to the last second. And so would you. So would you. The thing is that I understand his commitment to stand strong on this. I'm not fazed by anyone's criticism. I have to be honest with you. I don't care if it's a Christian or news reporter, or I don't care if it's the Pope, and I mean that directly and sincerely. Anyone who criticizes his tenacity to stick to the Constitution, you got to understand something. You may not like what he's doing. Maybe you should just concede, which is a legal act, by the way. It's a legal procedure to concede. If you know that you were robbed of the election, you wouldn't concede until the last absolute moment just to make a statement of ethics and integrity. But nobody's thinking like that anymore. They just want to move on with their lollipop and all bad things. You know, what is the saying? Orange man bad.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? Have your opinion, but that guy has upheld the Constitution more than 90% of our elected bozos.
And never took a dime.
And you know why? By the way, you should know this. If you had invested your life into the nation and the world like he has, and what he stands to lose, you cannot criticize him. The Pope and me and Amir, we have no voice on this issue regarding what he's committed to, because none of us are invested in the United States like he is. How many people do you employ compared to him? How many people depend upon you to succeed to feed their kids like others do regarding his entities? He's got a lot to lose. Other politicians had almost nothing to lose, or had nothing to lose. Very different. Real quick. I just saw Trump had declared a state of... You know, I keep hearing about this. I don't see any proof of this.
Well, the state of
what
emergency...
What does this mean for the U.S.?
It's at the request of the D.C. mayor. So he allowed more National Guards to be there just so everything will be okay. It has nothing to do with all of these theories that...
You can feel behind the question maybe he's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. She asked, and he doesn't have to, but he did. He issued... It's what you need to know about the one who makes it all matter. You guys, it's not, remember we've said it so many times, we'll say it forevermore. It's not what you know.
Yeah.
It's who you know.
It's who you know. It's not what you vote, it's who counts. No, I'm just joking.
That's terrible and true at the same time. That is terrible because we were the gatekeeper of,
I know,
of democracy, voting in the world.
Yeah, but Stalin said that.
There's not a country in the world
that
would look to the United States ever again to help them with a free
Actually,
country,
they all look
democracy.
At you and they learn that the left, the liberals all around the world just found out a great way to take over a country. That's it. They are looking at you.
Yeah,
they are learning. But the wrong thing.
Don't you have a flight to catch right about now?
Do you sense
that... The last question right now.
Are closer, more...
Do you sense that we as Christians are closer to more severe persecution in America? Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yes. Yeah.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Butch, by the way, you need to conduct yourself wisely from here on out. I don't know if you have any constitutional rights. I don't think I do. Free speech in a matter of hours was gone from us. It's not the country that it was.
Yeah.
And personally, remember this. From history, I don't believe Satan wants persecution to happen. Every time persecution happens, the church gets stronger. He knows this. So then why does it happen? If he doesn't want it, then why? Because, you know, listen, evil cannot control itself. Evil opens the tube of the toothpaste and starts to squeeze it, and it starts coming out, and it just goes, and it can't handle itself. It can't control. It has no self-control. It's evil. So evil, once it gets going, that's how it happens. I think Satan likes the shadows. But when it goes too far, then you've got a church that's being persecuted. And everywhere in the world throughout the last 2,000 years, whenever the church is persecuted, the unbeliever flocks to it because they see, oh my gosh, look at those people. They're dying, or they're being terrorized, or they're being mocked. They're being ridiculed and scorned, and they're not caving in. What is it that they believe? I don't have anything like that in my life. Hey, tell me more. What is this? Isn't that what you read in the book of Acts? That's how it works. And how, why, well, listen, you need to trust Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Listen, it's not that that's how it works, I should say. It's how he works. He does it. He saves. He forgives. Mm. He rescues. You have listen, you have a life. Yeah. Your life is not politics. Our lives is, it's not politics. Our lives are not a party. Our lives, listen, our lives, we have a life. We worship our God. We take a hike. We eat pizza. We have fun. We can go sailing, or we can take a walk. Why? We have lives. We enjoy what God's given us. The other team, they have only one God, and it's a little g. It's government. That's their world. That's not all they got. That's not all that we have. We do righteousness. We say, hey, you know what? God is life. We should stand for life. And if people accept it or not, it doesn't change the truth that God is life. God is life. He gives life. He's the one. At the end of the day, we joked about it right when we came out. I told Amir, in one of our lighter moments, I said, remember? I said, to encourage him just before we came out, I stopped and turned around. I said, listen, they can only torture us so long. And he goes, okay. And I said, you can only die so long, and then you're dead. And when you're dead, you're free. And he said, that's right. What'd you say? It was
to
a Bible
be
verse.
Absent.
No, no, you didn't say that verse. It was other
to,
verse.
For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
So we joke to say, somebody grabs you. So you're Jack? Yes. Yes. You're Amir? Yes. We're going to kill you. Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay. Wait, you okay with that? I'm okay with that. But we don't like that you're okay with that.
So stop trying to kill me.
So we're not going to kill you. Okay. But you okay with that? Yes.
Perfectly.
Then we're going to kill you. Okay. But you're okay with that? Yes. To live is Christ.
Yeah.
But then we're going to kill you. To die is gain. Right? You can't be stopped. You can't be stopped. So tonight, you need to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Jesus said, unless you're born again, the word in Greek is born from above. Unless you have a birth that comes from above, you will not, Jesus said. Listen, well, I mean this all due respect, my Catholic friends. Listen, you're never told this. And how do I know? I have hundreds and hundreds of Catholics tell me, I've never heard this before. Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless you are born again, born from above, you will never see the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
You need to know this. Jesus went on to say in that chapter, you were born of your mother in this world through water. Mm-hmm. And here you are, Nicodemus. Look at you. Well, to get into the world that is to come, you need to be born in the heavenly realm of the Spirit of God. Being a member of a church does zero for you eternally. Nowhere in heaven is there the Catholic section, the Calvary Chapel section, the Baptist section. Nowhere. The Bible says there is every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation of people who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, okay? who he, by his blood, has washed us from all of our sins. That's how you're going to get to heaven, by believing him when he says, I am your atonement, I'm your sacrifice. You trust me, and I have dealt with your sin at the cross 2,000 years ago. You don't even know it. He's telling you maybe for the first time tonight. You don't need to carry around your guilt and shame anymore. Yes. You come to me and you recognize, you tell me, Jesus, not me, not Amir. It's ridiculous. It's so silly. The book of Hebrews says, stop confessing your sins to a priest. Book of Hebrews says this in the Bible. Stop confessing your sins to a priest who he himself has to go confess his sins to somebody. But come to Christ, our great high priest. Mm. Have you ever done that? You should do that. Yeah. And you'll be set free from the things that are weighing down the world tonight and causing people to be gripped by fear. From COVID to the election to nuclear war to what's happening next. Who knows? Here's the thing. Your level of fear is directly connected to your level of faith. You put your faith in God, he removes fear. Don't you want to have that? It's a great way to live. Yeah. Choose Jesus.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I strongly believe we're reaching the finish line.
Yes.
We are reaching the finish line. And when Paul felt that his finish line was there around the corner, this is the first time he changed the declaration of running to I have completed the race. And then he says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Mm. And that's what we need to strive to say. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, not a judge here that are so corrupt.
Not the corrupt judges.
The righteous judge, he said, will give to me on that day, the day of the rapture, the day that we stand before Jesus to receive our crowns. Paul understands, I'm not running to get a medal right now. I'm going to run the race, complete the race, make it to the finish line, stand before Jesus, and I'm going to wait for all of you. Because when you will come, that's when he will receive that crown of righteousness. That's what he says. Not only for me, he said. Not all, but to all who have loved his appearing. Hallelujah. This is the finish line. You don't want to quit the race now. How foolish. All your life you were running that Christian race. And now, when you reach the finish line, to just say, it's too hard.
I love what you're... he's saying, all your life you've run the race, and here we are at the finish line. And I'm thinking, but what about the person who, even tonight, is saying, yes, I want Jesus. But we're at the finish line.
That's right.
Perfect. Lucky you, huh?
Yes.
No, seriously. That's like my mom. My mom cheated. She lived her whole life, and then she accepts Christ and dies 4 weeks later. What kind of a thing is that? That's amazing. Listen, Jesus talked about this, and he said in the parable, he said that he agreed with a man early in the morning to work. Will you work for me all day for $5? And the man said, absolutely. So the guy goes out there working. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven's like. And I love what Amir just said because it triggered this parable. So the man's working. How much did he agree to work for? $5. How long? Till the end of the day. All day. Till the end of the day. Till 5 o'clock. Okay? So then at 10 in the morning, somebody shows up The master says, hey, I need more labor. I'll pay you $5 if you work until a quitting time. Okay. So that guy's out there working. And then it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the master of the field says, you know what? I need to hire more people. Hey, will you guys go into the field and work till 5 o'clock? I'll pay you $5. And then like an hour before, it's closing time, like 4 o'clock, another guy shows up and Jesus says that the master says, I need one more helper. Will you work this hour for me for $5? And at the end, the master's paying out, and the guy that was there all day says, well, what are you doing? You gave that guy $5. He's been here for an hour. I've been here for 8 hours. And Jesus said, what's that to you?
Yeah.
You agreed to work for me for $5 all day.
Yeah.
He's so Jewish.
Yeah. Well, what?
Listen. Listen. It's true.
Think about it. Israel will be saved when Jesus comes back.
It's true.
Hello?
That's great.
Shortcut.
So you say, well, so you mean, so you guys have been with Jesus for years and I can accept Jesus tonight and get the same heaven?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
What a deal. Such a deal.
But we're supposed to quit now.
We're way over.
Yeah. You can't quit now. That's the thing.
Don't quit. Don't quit.
Run the race. Finish the race.
Stand strong. Don't quit. Let's all stand.
Keep the faith.
In fact, let's stand. Let's stand. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus, the one who makes all of this possible. The one who your word tells us is the creator. The one who tells us that angels will someday bow in worship before. Mm-hmm. Every knee will bow, including Satan himself. And every person that's ever lived will bow. So Lord, tonight we pray. We pray for a miracle. And I think that's appropriate tonight. Because a miracle cannot be described or defined, only enjoyed and marveled at. Father, we know from our nation's history, Washington was surrounded so many times. Lord, they were about ready to surrender, and there never would have been a United States when the British 400 ships surrounded Manhattan. And Washington was there, and all of our troops, and it was over. And even the generals and the admirals of the British Navy said, we had never seen a fog instantly appear. And by morning to find out that all of the American rebels had escaped Manhattan Island of New York to the mainland. That's not supposed to happen. Lord, we're asking you tonight to make the definition of this yours. But Lord, we pray for a miracle tonight. We pray for a miracle in our nation. We don't deserve it. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We forgive us of our apathy. You have given us, each of us as human beings, so much aptitude, so much ability, and we have used so little, like our brains. We have a big brain, but we've used so little of it, and you've given us all of us, a big footprint of influence, and we barely used it. We're asking you to forgive us. And we're asking you, Lord, in your tender mercies, if you might somehow prolong our freedoms, our liberties. And I pray that we'd do something with it that would honor you if you did. If you don't, we ask you, Lord, that you'd remember mercy in judgment. So, Father, we give you this nation, present to you ourselves and to any man or woman tonight listening, that they would bow their knee to you, Jesus, and say, Lord, be my Savior. I accept you tonight. I want that joy. I want that ability. I want that word of God in me too. I want to have the hope of eternal life. And Lord, may you transform them like you're transformed and transforming us ever so much into the image of your dear Son until we see him face to face. Until then, as Amir just said, may we not give up. Until we see the whites of his eyes, may we not give up. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.